Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate those kind words. And good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm thankful to be here this morning in the Lord's house and to be among my brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. There's nowhere else I'd rather be this morning. I know many of you are probably weary from the past week of vacation church school, and I'm pleased that you came out this morning and that you're here. I've had many burdens on my heart, especially in the past few months, but I always have a burden on my heart that seems to be lately kind of overwhelming for me, and that burden is for the state of our nation, the state of this choice land of the Lord's that we all love so much, this promised land. Have you been watching? Have you been watching? The Bible tells us to watch, doesn't it, so that we can be prepared. The last couple of weeks have been full of many things to watch that are going on in the world. The thing that strikes me about some of the things that have happened in the world, not just in the past couple of weeks, but for quite some time now, is that these things that we see happening seem to be happening on a very regular, fast and furious basis. This violence, this terrorism that's coming upon the world is not just a once in a while thing anymore. It's prevalent, it's continual. And I don't know about you, but I'm always kind of wondering what's happening next. I think of some of the words of my old Grandma Bergie. She's been gone for many years now, but I remember one time she wrote me a letter, and one of the first things that started out her letter was, "This old world is getting to be quite a whirly-go-round." That was Grandma's description of kind of a confusing world. It's getting to be something of a whirly-go-round. And as far as I remember, that was in 1963. So I don't know if Grandma Bergie could see the world today. I don't know what kind of a ride she would think that we were on, but I know she'd be shocked. I'm going to begin this morning by stating the obvious, and it's mainly as the Book of Mormon tells us, that we are today living in a nation ripening in iniquity. Only the Lord knows when we will be fully ripened in iniquity. But I don't think there's any of us that would argue that this nation is ripening in iniquity right along with the rest of the world. I'll be speaking mostly about prophecy today. It's kind of amazing, the Sunday school lesson this morning that Brother Daniel brought us had a lot of prophecy in it, a lot of history about the beginnings of the phenomenon that we now call Islam, its beginnings, its progression, and some of what we see today in things such as ISIS and other aspects of Islam. But it's amazing. We talked a little bit about prophecy there, but it's just kind of strike me how the Sunday school lesson can dovetail with some of the words that I would like to bring today. So I'll be speaking mostly about prophecy, and mostly as I believe that it pertains to America. And you may not agree with me about everything that I'll be bringing, and keep in mind that much of what I say might be my own observations, but I'll be using scriptures, I believe, to back up or to emphasize some of the things I'd like to talk about. I'd like to start out by reading several scriptures that I believe would serve as a text for my sermon this morning. And I'd like to start in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. And I'd like to read verses 4 through 9. Verses 4 through 9 in the first chapter of Isaiah. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Why should ye be rebuked or chastised any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your sin has not been repented of. Your sin has not been healed. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Are we part of that very small remnant that the Lord has left in the middle of the chaos of this world? I hope so. I hope so. I'd like to go next to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. I'd like to read the first five verses. Revelation chapter 18, I'm going to read the first five verses. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Are we her people? Are we his people? Are we the Lord's people? I hope so. I'd like to go into the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, on page 708, this is chapter 4 in the Book of Mormon, on page 708, and I'd like to read verses 44 through 48, starting with verse 44. This is a Moroni speaking. 44. Behold, look ye unto the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh, at that day when all these things must be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord hath shown unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come, at that day when these things shall come forth among you. Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts, speaking to the Gentiles. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities. Are we part of those few which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts? I hope so. One more text scripture in 2 Nephi chapter 12, page 159. 2 Nephi chapter 12. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 90. Verse 90. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. Brothers and sisters, I believe that great division is happening even now, that the wheat are being separated from the tares. And will we be his people that are spared? His people. I pray that we will. You know, the Lord always gives warning, an opportunity for repentance before his judgments come upon a people. He gives that warning, and he gives us the chance to repent of the things we need to repent of to come out of the world. Have we received warning? Have we received warning in this church as his people? I believe we have. I believe we have in various ways. We've certainly received warning from the prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Many others, the prophets have warned us of the things that would happen in our day, the things that would come upon this world in the last days. We have the scriptures that have been given to us, the scriptures including the words of Christ that give us warning of the people that we should be. We've received latter-day revelation since the restoration of this Church of Christ. Full of warnings to his people in these days. And today we have, we have the preaching of the ministry. The preaching of the ministry to warn us, to continually remind us of the things we should be doing to get closer to the Lord and to obey his commandments. I'd like to go to Jacob. Chapter 1, this is on page 168 in the Book of Mormon. Page 168. I'd just like to read verses 15 through 20. And now it came to pass that the people of Nephi, under the reign of the second king, began to grow hard in their hearts, and indulge themselves somewhat in wicked practices, such as like unto David of old, and also Solomon his son, desiring many wives and concubines. Yea, and they also began to search much gold and silver, and began to be lifted up somewhat in pride. Wherefore I, Jacob, gave unto them these words as I taught them in the temple, having firstly obtained mine errand from the Lord. For I, Jacob, and my brother Joseph had been consecrated priests and teachers of this people by the hand of Nephi. They'd been called of God through Nephi. And we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads, if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence. Wherefore, by laboring with our mights, their blood might not come upon our garments. Otherwise, their blood would come upon our garments, and we would not be found spotless at the last day. Says a lot in just a few verses there about the responsibility that the ministry has to bring the truth to God's people, and the price that they would pay if they failed to do that. There's similar wording found in Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm not going to go to that, but. Ezekiel chapter 33, at least the first nine verses of that chapter, talk about the duties of the watchmen of the Lord, and the duties that they have to warn people, not necessarily of spirit or of physical danger, but of spiritual danger, and the price that the watchmen will pay if they see the danger coming. And they failed to warn the people. We have all these prophets that have warned God's people from the beginning of time. We have Jeremiah that gave warning to Judah and Jerusalem. We have Alma and Amulek that gave warning to that great city of Ammonaha, and they were arrested. And they were imprisoned for their warnings and for the words that they gave to the people. We have Samuel the Lamanite that gave warning to the Nephites of what would happen to them if they didn't come out of their sinful ways and their pride. We have Jesus Christ, the brother of Jared, who gave warning to the Gentiles concerning. What would happen to them if they did not repent? And it seems that always when the Lord warns a people, when he gives warning, it's because of our iniquity, because of worshiping other gods. You know, whether those other gods are made out of wood or concrete, or whether those other gods are the things that we lust for in our hearts. These are the warnings that are given to the people is because of iniquity. I mentioned that Jeremiah, Alma, and Amulek were all arrested, imprisoned for a time because of the warnings that they had given to the people. And I think the ministry of today, we have to consider, we have to ask ourselves whether, you know, are we prepared to suffer persecution for our preaching and for our beliefs. You know, in our modern day world, some of the things that we might preach about that come from the scriptures that we believe deeply in, today many people would call these hate crimes, hate speech. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how much longer we will have that kind of freedom of religion, even in this nation, that we can freely preach the things that come from the scriptures, the things that are abominable to the Lord, and not be guilty of some crime in the eyes of the civil law. You know, will we be arrested and charged with a crime, you know, for the preaching of God's word? I think it's something we need to think about. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. I'm going to start with the first verse of Jeremiah chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying to Jeremiah, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Leave nothing out. Tell them every word that I will give to you. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Pretty stout words. But these are the words that the Lord gave unto Jeremiah to give to the people. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him. They arrested him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Change your ways, repent of your sins, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. We know that Jeremiah was not killed for his words at that time, but neither did the people change. Neither did the people amend their ways. And it was not long after that Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. The captivity of Jerusalem by the Babylonians took place not long after Jeremiah's warnings. And we know from the Book of Mormon that Lehi also gave warning to Jerusalem about this same time, just before Lehi and his family were sent forth by the Lord to this land. And in the Book of Mormon, Lehi also gives warning to the future inhabitants of this land. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi in the Book of Mormon on page 77. Page 77, second book of Nephi. And I'd like to read the first 15 verses. The words of Lehi. And now it came to pass, that after I, Nephi, had made an end of teaching my brethren, our father Lehi also spake many things unto them, how great things the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of the land of Jerusalem. And he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters and the mercies of God in sparing their lives, that they were not swallowed up in the sea. And he also spake unto them concerning the land of promise which they had obtained, how merciful the Lord had been in warning us that we should flee out of the land of Jerusalem. And now Lehi speaking, for behold, saith he, I have seen a vision, in the which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And had we remained in Jerusalem, we should also have perished. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God hath covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever. And also, all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever. Will we be among the righteous? I hope we will. We receive further warning concerning this land in the book of Ether, page 717. This is the first chapter of Ether. In the words that the Lord had given to the brother of Jared, I'm just going to read verses 31 through 35, and you've probably heard these verses 100 times, if not more. Starting with verse 31 on page 717. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decrees of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this come, and this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage, and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. Only the Lord knows when we have become fully ripened in iniquity. I have to say that at this time and in this land, I don't see much sign of repentance among many people in this land. I know there are many, many people that still do follow after the Lord. But we have received warning, and we know what the Lord requires of us. So, as is always the case, if this nation, America, were to be brought down into captivity, it would be because of our iniquity as a nation and because of our serving other gods. I'd like to spend a little time reading in Ezekiel, the 38th chapter. Ezekiel in the 38th chapter. This chapter is mainly a prophecy against the heathen Gog, G-O-G, in the land of Magog. But I believe it's also a prophecy concerning the humbling of this nation that is the Lord's choice land. You may not agree with how I read some of these words or how I perceive some of these words that are given, but this is my belief. I'd like to read many verses here in chapter 38, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. I know there are many today that identify Gog and the land of Magog as being modern-day Russia. I should probably have Brother Daniel preach about this because he gave us a little hint today showing where these various countries are today. We know where Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are. I'm not so sure about some of the other ones, Gomer and Togarma. But I believe, according to what Daniel was telling us in Sunday school, all these nations are kind of up in that area where, if not bordering on modern-day Russia, maybe close to that area. Whether you believe that Gog and Magog is Russia, when you read this chapter, you know that it is the leader, the ruler of a great band, conglomeration, or confederation of heathen, ungodly nations with ungodly ambitions. I'm going to continue in verse 8. After many days, thou shalt be visited, talking of Gog. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. I think many people that interpret these words would say that land that is being under attack by Gog is probably that modern-day nation that we call Israel, modern-day Judah, that little country in the Middle East. I'm going to go on. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12, and give you an interpretation that perhaps you don't agree with, and perhaps many scholars don't agree with either. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time that this invasion of Israel is happening, at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. I believe that there is no other nation in the world other than America that fits that description of that land of unwalled villages that are at rest, dwelling safely without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And it describes that land as a prey, something weaker than that which will come upon it. I'm going to go over to verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. The Lord will be sanctified in the eyes of the people when he is sanctified in the destruction of Gog before their eyes. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him in overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39, the first five verses. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and up the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I believe these words speak of a judgment to come upon this land, an attack, an invasion, that will not only bring the heathen, the godless heathens, to an end, but will in the process humble this nation. This nation has need of being humbled, brothers and sisters. I know this has been a long reading. There's other witnesses to these words, I believe. There's no time today for me to read all the similar and the witnessing scriptures to Ezekiel 38 and 39. But I urge you to carefully and prayerfully study some additional witnesses that I believe are witnesses to these words. I urge you to read and study Joel, the second chapter. I urge you to read and study the third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 101 through 106. Third Nephi, chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. And something that's not necessarily scripture, I urge you to read or to review George Washington's vision, especially the section of that vision that talks about the third peril to come upon America. I believe it's a true vision, and I believe it's prophetic. You know, as we witness day after day the sin, the violence, the terrorism in the world and in our nation, what is our hope in the Church of Christ? Number one, our biggest hope is in our name, the name of Christ. In our hope for deliverance from all these things, we must repent of the things we need to repent of. We must obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, and we must always put our complete trust in Him and in Him alone. Number two, along with our repentance from those things that we need to repent of, those things of the world that lure us and that tempt us, as it says in Revelation chapter 18, we need to be not a part of Babylon. We must come out of Babylon. All those things that we find so tempting, that Satan would put in our path, we need to come out of those things. We need to commit ourselves to those things that the Lord says are important, those things that He commands us to do. Number three, as we prepare ourselves spiritually, we must strengthen the cause of Zion in our hearts. Because that time of gathering of the Lord's people is surely near. We can't keep seeing these things happening in the world week after week and day after day and not know that the time of the gathering of the Lord's people is near. There's never been a more important time to reject the ways of this world. We must not just grudgingly give up those things, but we must with great joy reject the ways of the world. It's the Lord's will for His people. I know we are His people. He wants a repentant. He wants a humble. He wants a prepared people, and He commands that we be one. He commands that we be one, or we are not His. So this is the time This is the time for us to come closer to one another and to come closer to the Lord in these last days. I'd like to close with just a few verses. I'd like to go to the Book of Commandments. I'd like to read from the Book of Commandments in chapter 48. Chapter 48, I'm going to read verses 59 through 67. This is the time just before Joseph and the others were to come here to the center place from Ohio. And this is one of the revelations that was given. Go ye forth into the western countries, call upon the inhabitants to repent. And inasmuch as they do repent, build up churches unto me. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches, that ye may purchase an inheritance, which shall hereafter be appointed unto you. And it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it. And it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. We read the words in Ezekiel that talk about the last days when every man's sword will be against his neighbor. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven. And that shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible, wherefore we cannot stand. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. The righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. I see I've gone over my time. I have a couple more things. One short scripture out of Hebrews. One of my favorite. I have lots of favorite scriptures, but I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, and this is my hope for what we will be in the Church of Christ as the day draws nearer. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 21 through 25, just a few short verses, starting with verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As we see that day of the Lord approaching, let us love one another and exhort one another. I have one thing I'd like to leave you with. It's a song, the words of a song that have not yet been put to music. Some of you may know Deb and I have become very good friends with some Bickertonites in the town of the city of Imperial, Pennsylvania, close to Pittsburgh. The Bickertonite, it's the Church of Jesus Christ, but we call them Bickertonites. Their headquarters is in Monongahela, Pennsylvania. But Deb and I have become good friends with Becky Tarbuck and her husband Tim. Becky's mother is named Arlene Buffington. Arlene has had this tremendous gift that's been given to her since sometime in the 70s. She gets these songs. The Lord gives her songs. She calls them Songs of Zion. I'm going to read the words from the Song of Zion number 228. And there, believe me, there are 227 other Songs of Zion that Sister Arlene has been given. Becky and Arlene were out here in the center place a few weeks ago. They visited here. Deb and I were in Michigan at the Michigan reunion, so we couldn't be here when they were visiting, but I know they visited here on the Temple lot. I know they visited the East Local, and I know they visited a couple of other restoration groups here in town. But Sister Arlene, and I call her sister because I consider her my sister, even though they're in a different church. Arlene received the words to this song from the Spirit not long after they returned home from here in Independence. So I'm going to read these words. I think they're from the Spirit. And I'm going to read first some words from Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. Matthew chapter 24, verse 20 says that, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Here's the words to the song. It's called Come Before Winter. Come before winter, while summer wears on. Come, ere the bridges and highways are gone. Come before traveling comes to an end. Come before winter, my friend. Come before winter, my friend. Excuse me. Come before winter, and come before spring. Come while the birds in the branches still sing. Heed when the trumpets send out the alarm. Come before winter comes on. Come before winter comes on. Come before winter, a place is prepared where heaven's own blessings on earth there are shared. Come Zion's children, there's no need to fear. Come before winter is here. Come before winter is here. Come before winter, the trumpets resound. A land beyond measure, the Lord he has found. And he is parting the rivers for thee. Come before winter and see. Come before winter and see. I thank you, brothers and sisters.